The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now to existing home sales, up more than forecast. David Burson joins us, Senior Vice President, Chief Economist, Nationwide Insurance, former Chief Economist at Fannie Mae. David, good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Existing home sales had a nice little jump here. How does it look to you?
Well, the housing market is getting better, and we're out of the deep freeze from the winter. So some of this improvement over the last couple of months is just a rebound from the terrible winter weather. But more fundamentally, we're seeing the increase in jobs that are being created translating into more demand for housing. And as long as the job numbers remain strong, I think that's going to continue.
Well, this is a big question, isn't it? What about mortgage availability? What about banks' willingness to lend? We've heard on many occasions that it's still not easy for people with less than perfect credit.
I think that's exactly right. And while we expect home sales to pick up over the rest of the year, the gain is still going to be pretty modest. It is difficult to get a mortgage loan without pristine credit or nearly pristine credit. There are, I think, a lot of creditworthy individuals who could probably get a loan very successfully, pay it back, who find it very difficult to get that loan today. And that reduces the potential market for home sales. Now, we're not talking about going back to the credit standards of the boom, but even loosening it a little bit to still very creditworthy households would increase the potential market size substantially.
And I'm looking at the breakdown, David, between single family sales and condos and co-ops. It looks like condos and co-ops were strong too, but it's not a bad number on single family at all.
No, the single family clearly is going up. We're starting to see households that were locked out of the market for various reasons. Some of it may have been that they simply didn't want to buy because prices have been going down for so long, coming back into the market. And, you know, the majority of homes that are sold are single-family homes. They're not condos. They're not co-ops. And condos and co-ops, I think, will remain a much smaller part of the market going forward.
David Burson from Nationwide Insurance. We are looking at existing home sales. We do have some breaking news. It's on the Bloomberg terminal now. Let me give you the headline. Obamacare aid for plan buyers on U.S. exchange barred by court. We've got this headline so far. We'll be looking for the follow-up. Obviously, markets, investors watching this very closely. Obamacare tax credits illegal for U.S. exchange. Obamacare opponents win challenge to the law at the U.S. appeals court. So this is the news that's breaking now. And we'll be getting more details on it and more coverage of this story. Certainly, the Affordable Care Act is really one of the cornerstones of President Obama's domestic policies and of such an important issue for the healthcare industry, for providers, for companies. We're going to get more details and cover this throughout the show today. So, David Burson, housing. We've seen some mixed views on housing when we've looked at the reports. Say, National Association of Home Builders, builder optimism had a nice jump. Then we saw home construction, housing starts, looking kind of mixed. We had some big weakness in the South, which really weighed on housing starts overall. How do you sort that part of the housing market out?
You know, I don't know anybody who can tell me what happened in the South last month. The weather was not terrible, and all the other parts of the country were up. Why did housing starts fall? In fact, they didn't just fall. It was the biggest one-month percentage decline we've ever seen in the South. And so you have to think that was just simply a data issue, that, in fact, these are all statistical samples. If they got a better sample, starts probably would have been up in the South, or at worst, down just a little bit. So I think that we'll see the starts numbers get revised up when we get them next month, and next month will be up. And I think that's going to be more consistent with what we're seeing with the sales. And the sales clearly are moving up as the job market gets better. But as you noted before, that's still tempered by the difficulty in getting mortgage loans. But still, as job creation grows, as people feel more confident about their job and income earning prospects, they'll be willing to take out mortgage loans, they'll be willing to buy houses, and home sales should rise, and starts will rise as a result.
How about a look at all cash deals, distressed purchases, that part of the market? How are the dynamics shifting there?
Well, the all-cash part of the market still remains very strong. Some of it is investors. A couple of years ago, a large part of that was investors. Today, less of it is investors, and more of it is people who have sold their homes and are buying homes for the same or lower prices with the proceeds are buying them all cash. So we're seeing the all cash share, you know, roughly between about 30 to 35%, which historically is very high. And it's one of the reasons why I think the weekly survey purchase applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association is not showing the same strength that other housing indicators are showing. It's fewer people are going to get a mortgage today when they buy a house. The distressed part of the market is now a smaller part of the market. Now, when we do see distressed sales, their prices are much lower than non-distressed homes. But there are just fewer distressed homes for sale, fewer distressed homes overall, and that's good for the housing market. We don't want that to be
sure.
A big part of the market.
Now, are the all-cash deals, do they still investors? Is this showing that investors are still a big part of what's brought housing back?
Well, investors are certainly a part of that, but the investor share of the all-cash deals is coming down.
Mm.
So more of it now are non-investor buyers. They're actually individual people who are living in the home, so they're owner-occupants. And then that really is unusual to see that that highest share.
David, I got a note from one of our very faithful listeners who works at a mortgage firm here in the tri-state area. He's saying that it really isn't so exactly true that you need pristine credit to get a mortgage now. He says you can get an FHA loan with a FICO score down to about 620, and he said many lenders will go down to 580. He says where it's difficult to get a mortgage, how that statement is accurate when it comes to documentation, because now people like him have to document that people earn what they say they earn and have the assets to complete the transaction. And he said a lot of self-employed people frequently complain about it's hard to get a mortgage, but that in terms of the pristine credit, you say maybe that's, at least where he is, that's not exactly true. What do you see?
Well, it is not exactly true, and he's right to point that out. But the fees and costs associated with the loan have gone up. So, for example, FHA has raised the cost of their mortgage insurance. So it's more expensive now, even if the mortgage rate is lower, the expense of the ongoing mortgage insurance that you get with an FHA loan has gone up. Fannie and Freddie have pushed up guarantee fees as well. So it's more expensive to get a loan. And in the conforming part of the market, not FHA, it is more difficult to get a loan if your FICO score is under 700. Again, we're not talking about going back to make it easy to get a loan if your FICO score is 400 or 500, but there are lots of creditworthy households with FICO scores, say, between 650 and 700, who find it either much more difficult to get a loan, and it is more difficult, perhaps not impossible, but more difficult, but certainly more expensive.
Okay.
And so it is harder to get a loan.
All righty. Inflation, Federal Reserve, watching this very closely. Monthly CPI comes in 0.3 in June on the headline, 0.1 when you take food and energy out of consumer prices. Year over year, 2.1 and 1.9, just around 2% on those numbers. What do you see inflation doing right now? Is it comforting to the Fed that it's moved back up a bit, or is it at some point a problem?
Well, today I think it is comforting for the Fed that it's moved back up a bit, and that's what the Fed has tried to do. They were very concerned that inflation under their goal of long-term goal of 2% indicated that the economy had just too much slack, and in fact that there was a risk that it would fall further. And we could, in fact, get negative inflation. So I think the Fed is accomplishing its short-term goal. There is a concern longer-term, and longer-term perhaps meaning over the 6 to 12 months coming up, that inflation could move up further. Now, a little bit is okay, and I think the Fed is okay with overshooting their target by a tad. You know, we get up to, say, 2.3, 2.5, I think they're okay with that. But if you start to see inflation continuing to rise beyond that, 2.5 to 3, then I think it becomes a much bigger problem and something the Fed will address by tightening policy fairly drastically in 2015, if that occurs.
All righty. David Burson, thank you so very much. Senior economist, Chief Economist, Nationwide Insurance.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.